Hello and welcome back. This is Stephanie Wilson, your host here today with Jennifer Lucas. Through her degrees in psychology and biology, accompanied with certifications in integrative health coaching and hormonal balance, she specializes in individualized nutrition plans, hormone balancing, and guidance to living your best life with the top wellness tips and strategies. Her own experiences with a natural pregnancy in her 20s and IVF at 35 provide her extra knowledge and resources, in addition to her education, which comes to preconception health support. Optimizing your health prior to pregnancy can be the difference between a beautiful, comfortable pregnancy versus misery and potential complications. Ain't that the truth? Hi, Jen. Welcome. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. I'm so happy to have you today.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure. I've been looking forward to this.
Absolutely. So share with us, what do you think is the most important thing a woman can do before conception to provide her body the best opportunity at a healthy pregnancy, a healthy baby, and a healthy postpartum experience?
Well, first off, I want to start off by saying if this is reaching you and you're in your 20s, then youth is still working in your favor. However, I mean, it's absolutely possible to have a healthy and blissful pregnancy in your late 30s and even your early 40s by making the right nutrition and lifestyle choices. In my own experience of 3 children, 2 pregnancies, obviously twins, my second pregnancy, even through IVF at 35, was a lot more pleasant than my pregnancy in my 20s. I even recovered a lot faster, even having had a C-section. My 27, age 27, when I had my son, might look a lot different than the 27 of our listeners. I, at that time, was not consciously planning a child or treating my body really accordingly. Once I found out that I was pregnant, I did my best to start hurrying and reversing some of the decisions and the choices that I've been making, but I didn't really have the best toolbox or guidance or support or knowledge of what to do. So I did my best. I always knew that I wanted to be a mother. So, I was excited about the pregnancy. I just really wasn't prepared. So moving forward to the second time, I definitely took that experience and I wanted to have a lot more preparation. I just read this book called A Diet for a New America, where the author says, your health, happiness, and the future of life on earth are rarely so much in our hands as when we sit down to eat. So, I mean, if you think about it, it's this 90-day period that is prior to conception that has the potential to really change the genetic code of our baby and the generation after that. So this is not just like, oh, I got pregnant, let's start from here. It's this like around a 90-day period before conception that the quality of your egg and your sperm really start developing. So, I mean, generally speaking, I'd say the most important thing is to be aware of this, aware of the fact that our nutritional status and those lifestyle choices we're making months before we conceive this is a crucial time. So it's hard to start making those choices when you're already pregnant. As you know, your hormones start kicking in, and I don't think that's the time to be like, oh, I need to really change the way I was eating. So, I mean, not to mention, probably most pregnancies aren't exactly planned. So if you're already living a really healthy, sustainable lifestyle, and then you get pregnant, then you already have your foot in the door. So I would say the most important thing is really being aware of this, aware that that time before you get pregnant is when you need to already have in place what you're eating.
You seem like the perfect example for what we're talking about, to say that, yeah, you may have been younger, but that your pregnancy, when you were focused on doing the things that you knew to do beforehand, turned out to be even better experience later in life. That's exactly the point. You're a living example.
Right. And so, yeah, like I mentioned, you know, if you're already listening to this in your 20s, you've got youth on your side and you can already start planning. But I mean, 20 or 40, if you're not eating the right nutrients and really taking care of yourself and making good choices, then that doesn't mean your pregnancy is going to be a lot better just because you're 20. When somebody who's 40, who is making all these right decisions, could end up having a much more blissful and easier pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. How is it that you believe nutrition affects a woman's experience of pregnancy and delivery and labor? Of course, we're saying just to be healthy in general, but what if a woman goes into this depleted, what would her experience be versus if she's optimal nutritionally?
I mean, when we're really nourishing our bodies with high nutrient foods and getting the vitamins and the minerals that we should, then our body is going to thrive and it's going to act accordingly. We're born, with the capability, you know, we're made to do this, but it's hard, you know, especially in today's world where the soil is so depleted, and the nutrients are not as good as they were. Say, I mean, also in this book that I just read, it was interesting. They did these studies that now it takes today, it takes 3 apples to equal the nutrient value that 1 apple did in 1940.
Wow.
So we really need to work that much harder, even though we're made for this. We really need to really try to optimize what we're eating more than ever before. Mm-hmm. Alongside with nutrition, I would say that just daily movement and exercise really go hand in hand. And I'm not talking about like exercise to be skinny. I mean exercise to build energy. And I mean, to be honest, having some better, my second pregnancy, really going into it with a really good core strength made a huge, huge difference in the pregnancy itself, the labor, and obviously the postpartum. Energy is eating, if you really think about food as fuel, eating for energy is, I mean, it takes a lot of energy just to be pregnant. So if you're, my first pregnancy, you know, all I had in mind was, remember, you know, you're eating for two. And I would go to the grocery store and I would get one of those cheap white cakes. There's just like the whitest cake that you can find with the white frosting. And I really felt like I was deserving of this. And, oh, I can eat for two and I'd eat my cake. And then, of course, I'd feel like crap. I mean, of course, my blood sugar would skyrocket and I would be more nauseous. And I wasn't doing myself any good compared to, yes, you are eating for two, but think about what the difference in what you're eating and your energy, especially if this is not your first pregnancy. And for me, I had a child to take care of and I was pregnant with twins. So it was really crucial for me to eat for energy.
Mm-hmm. As bad as we know that cake make us feel without having a baby growing in our belly, when you're pregnant, it's so much emphasized. You're not feeling bad. It feels 10 times worse. The yucky feeling, it drags out longer.
And it has nothing to do with, like I said, this isn't about, I don't want to be, you know, misunderstood. This has nothing to do with vanity or not, you know, this is like really feeding your body so you work and you feel better.
I love that you emphasize that. I think a lot of women, myself included, I've spent the majority of my life working out was for the purpose of what is the scale going to look like after the fact, not focusing on measuring to the best of our ability, how much stronger are we getting? How much core strength? How much of it are we working our pelvic floor? What's this exercise the purpose?
Yeah, absolutely. That pelvic floor it can make a big difference when you're, again, right? Pregnancy, delivery, and postpartum. If we build up that strength, then we're just making our lives so much easier. Just exercise in general, that you bring that up. It's not like when you get that mentality gone of eating, of exercise for the sake of being skinny, that just sounds depressing. Like that's just not motivating, you know, but eating for strength, working out for strength and energy. And I mean, that's just such a game changer. It makes it so much easier and more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree. What about detox? How do you feel? Should a woman focus on any certain type of detox, or what should she do to detox her body from toxic, yucky things before pregnancy?
Okay. So people, I think, like talking about this too, people have gotten really sensitive to the word detox, and I mean, quote unquote, diet culture. You see this all over like Instagram. Like it's kind of turned it into a negative thing. But our listeners are gonna fit into different categories depending where they are in their health, their age, and their timeline of conception. If you really know that you're not taking care of yourself physically and mentally, but you see motherhood in your horizon, or, you know, quite honestly, you're really not doing anything to prevent yourself from getting pregnant, it's probably a good time to start taking some inventory of where you should be making some changes. And by all means, if you're really ready and willing to follow some different protocols, again, like you mentioned, I have some stuff on my website. I'm going to be adding more called a preconception detox. Then, and you're willing to do this, then I would definitely say that some of these steps that I've written out are really important. I think they're important for anybody, but they're certainly important if you really know I'm ready. Like, let's get this ball rolling. Some of the things I won't elaborate on too much, you know, just for time's sake, but like I'll go over some of like the main things that I would detox. First foremost is alcohol. I would definitely either drastically reduce or completely eliminate altogether. If you know you want to get pregnant, like this is the time you're working at it, I would completely eliminate it. It really leaches our vitamins and our minerals. And I'm sure we've all heard it damages our liver. But what's really especially bad for fertility's sake and when we're trying to get pregnant is what it does is it prevents the liver from eliminating excess estrogen. And this causes us to become possibly estrogen dominant. I think we've heard that phrase kind of tossed around a little bit, but what it really means, what it means for somebody who's trying to get pregnant is when you become estrogen dominant from drinking too much alcohol, and we're all different, too much for one person, you know, you don't know. So even a little bit could cause you to do this. So too much estrogen will cause you to decrease your progesterone. And that's what we need to get pregnant and to stay pregnant. Without this hormone, then you've got a really greater chance of having a miscarriage or not getting pregnant at all. So no alcohol. Second, I would reduce caffeine. And giving it up altogether, for some people who love their coffee, I wouldn't say it's, you absolutely have to. I mean, that could cause you more damage than not. If you're really suffering and going through withdrawal and having headaches and you're just mad at the world because you didn't have your morning coffee, I don't think that's really a good thing either. So just cutting back, too much coffee is tough on our adrenal glands, and that's not good for our hormones. Sugar, reducing sugar, especially processed junk. Again, this isn't about losing weight. It's just we know there's a lot of information out there on the harmful effects of sugar. And again, it too much disrupts that nice, even ebb and flow of our hormonal system. Those are some of the main ones. And again, I'll go into it more on the website, but those are the top three: alcohol, caffeine, and sugar.
I love that you explained the reason behind alcohol. I personally don't even think about it myself. I just know, oh, I'm not supposed to have alcohol when I'm pregnant. It's probably a good thing to not be drinking before. But for you to explain the reasoning behind that and how it could ultimately cause progesterone levels to be too low to even carry a baby or get pregnant.
Right.
Extraordinary information.
Because that is, I mean, it makes sense. That's what it all starts in our liver, and our liver becomes completely out of whack with alcohol. So yeah, that's why. So that's a good thing to, yeah, just knowing that information probably helps it click in a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. What do you believe is the best thing a woman can do now to prepare her body for labor and delivery? I know we touched on the pelvic floor. What else would you share with women?
Let's see. So from my experience and perspective, just focusing more on the preconception stage, preparing for labor and delivery, I think what we talked about, really staying at your optimal weight and for your body, and focusing less on being skinny and more on being strong. You're making sure that you're eating really your good fertility type of foods. And today it's like everything is non-dairy. That seems like everyone's so scared of dairy. And for some reasons, I mean, there's a lot of, like, I wouldn't be drinking an organic milk. I mean, that just freaks me out. But really getting good grass-fed organic milk when you're trying to get pregnant it's like such a perfect food for our hormones. Its macro nutritional profile is 25% fat, 25% protein, and 50% carbs. It has everything. I mean, everything that is really good for your body. It's also full of peptides that are really, really good for sleeping. So I would do a nice, good grass-fed organic milk. Bone broths are so good for our body. So adding in things like that, leafy green vegetables are so good for our bones and so good for our gut. All of these types of things are really going to help your body prepare and be stronger for delivery. It's like fueling your body with the best gas. If you go to the gas station and you keep putting in the wrong gas into your car, and then, you know, you're wondering why your car is not running at its optimal, you know, the way that you'd expect it to, that our bodies are going to work the same way. If we give it what it wants, then come that big day of delivery, it's going to perform for us.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that one of your pregnancies was a C-section. Was that the second one or the first one? Did you ultimately have a C-section with both?
That was the second one. So that was with the twins. I knew that I had to have a C-section because one of them was transverse and one of them was breech. So it was like that. They were like a T. So mm-hmm. It was kind of nice knowing that I had a lot of anxiety about having a natural delivery with them, with twins. But I knew all along they stayed in that position. So it was scheduled. I went full term and they were almost 6 pounds each at full term, I think it was close to 39 weeks. You go a little bit earlier with twins. But I mean, of the two pregnancies, I wouldn't want to have a C-section, but again, it was okay. I recovered from it again because I was in such good shape. I think I didn't, I bounced back a lot faster than I expected that I would.
Mm-hmm. What about emotionally and mentally, spiritually? Is there anything that you would advise women to focus on or be aware of going into that postpartum experience to have a healthy time with babes?
Yeah, definitely. I think hormones they can either be our work against us or work for us. And instead of letting hormones make the decision for us and just kind of being dictated by what they're going to do, we need to take control of them, especially during this time. And the best way of doing that is that I can think of is definitely, I think that anybody can really think of is nutritionally. There's a lot of information out there for what really feeds our hormones the best. And when we know and we're aware, especially during postpartum, that we're getting depressed, I mean, by all means, some is worse than others. Sometimes, you know, somebody really needs to seek professional help. But if you really don't think you're falling into that category, but you're kind of feeling those, you know, those postpartum blues, then I would definitely start leaning into, there's a lot of books out there, and I can put it on my website as well. There's a lot of different foods and a lot of different nutrients and adaptogens, like mushroom adaptogens. I'm sure you've heard about these floating around, that definitely try to help balance that out. I think that nutritionally, we can tell our hormones what to do more than our hormones telling us what to do.
Interesting. And it's probably really important now, exactly what we're talking about, to make sure those hormones are balanced going into pregnancy, to have the optimal balance coming out the other end as well.
Right. Hormones work a lot like highway systems. When there's like a backup somewhere, then everything gets screwed up. So it's really important to keep things flowing.
Mm-hmm. When you get one out of whack, then it sends signals that they all get out of whack. And then we have chaos and it all could have been prevented.
Exactly. And then we start spiraling. So awareness is really key, because it is normal for things to get out of balance. So it does sometimes take a little bit more effort. And it's a lot easier when you're eliminating. Sugar is so crazy. The research that I've done on sugar and how much it just really disturbs that natural flow.
Right. You know, digging into the milk that you discussed, I do absolutely agree with you that it's villainized. You know, we always want almond milks or oat milks now, and no one wants any dairy milk. And I do understand where you're coming from. There's a lot of really healthy things in it. But could you touch on the point that some milks also, or what is your opinion, I guess, on the fact that some milks also are said that they can cause hormone disruption because of all the hormones we're injecting into the milks and into the dairy products?
Right. Exactly. Like I said, lightly, but I absolutely do mean that. I would not drink an organic milk. For those purposes. And a lot of people, myself included, this same goes with gluten. Why is gluten, you know, we'll hear our grandparents and people say, I don't understand this gluten thing. I was always eating gluten, because it's different now.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, with the scientific genetic modification of things, it has changed things. So we have become more sensitive to dairy than people were years ago. We have become more sensitive to gluten because it isn't the same. We're not drinking the same milk. We're not eating the same gluten, but there are choices. There are, like I said, grass-fed organic milk. And if you know you've already gotten yourself into that category of people who are sensitive to dairy, then I'm not suggesting you're drinking milk all day. But if you are trying to get pregnant or you are pregnant, especially in that, what we're talking about, this preconception time, it's a good idea to start to just start adding in a little bit, even if you're just using it in your coffee or it's just a little glass before bed. But a lot of these non-dairy, I use certain non-dairy milks, but I'm careful about the ingredients because a lot of them, you're just drinking a bunch of crap, for lack of a better term. If you look at the ingredients, there's like 10 ingredients on the carton. Whereas you look at the ingredients in milk, you're drinking one thing. Mm-hmm. So
that's a good point.
Yeah. So you really have to watch those non-dairy. There's some, I can list all of this stuff too. There's so many, that's why I created this members site, because there's just like so much information. And I can put some of what I think the top brands are for non-dairy milks. Mm-hmm. Because there's really not that many. Most of them are kind of full of different gums and additives and preservatives and dyes and whatnot. And they disguise themselves as being the healthier choice, but it's not always the healthier choice. And none of them are really going to offer you, like I was saying, those the nutrients of the perfect, like I was saying, that milk can have those perfect amounts of protein and carbs. So I hope that answers that question.
It does. And I think I want to elaborate as well. It depends on location. You know, I know for you in the Palisades of California, you don't have your neighbor next door with a dairy cow, but I'm in the middle of Tennessee, you know, you can know your farmer. It's, mm-hmm. It goes even beyond being organic. If you know how those animals are being raised, then I absolutely agree. I think what you're sharing is outstanding information. We shouldn't be scared of that milk. You know, that the milks that we want to stay away from are what's being pumped with hormones or inorganic use of pesticides and whatnot in the food that the animals are eating. But I love that you've pointed on that dairy is not the villain here. Yeah. And just as much those non-dairy milks can be the villain at times.
Yeah. And as you said, it isn't, you know, it's not fair of me to also not consider location. I think for me, of course, I'm lucky that I have every healthy option right outside of my door. And
absolutely,
it is not the same case for everybody in the United States. So I think it would be insensitive for me to think that everybody has the same options. I think there's a movement going on, and it's going to take some time, but I really think that in the next, you know, generation or so, things are going to start going back to a better place in our food system. They're definitely talking about it a lot more. At my kid's school, I'm in the Palisades, but in LA in general, there's one school, and my kids are lucky enough to go to it, that has an active farm. There's literally, and sometimes they'll let the goats, they're in middle school, my girls, they'll let the goats roam, and there will be goats like walking around their school.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. Oh, there's chickens, and I mean, they're teaching them to farm. They're learning all of this stuff. So there is a movement, especially with these kids, that I'm hoping by the time their parents, that they won't maybe have to be having the same conversation of which milk is going to kill you. You know, it's like,
you're so right. I see that here as well. More and more schools that are putting up their own little gardens at the very least, but that's amazing. They have goats.
Yeah. It's so cool.
Awesome. Well, is there anything else that you would share with women that you believe they should be tested for or be aware of in their body prior to conceiving?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So conventional lab tests are definitely, like, they're 100% necessary. Everybody should be doing them. We should all be doing them on a regular basis. And then, of course, once you do conceive, you know, it seems like you're being tested for something, like every week you're going in for lab tests. But not all conventional medical practitioners test for some of the things that I really highly recommend that I learned throughout my education. And a lot of integrative type doctors, I think that you're probably speaking to too, will probably say some of these same things. But my fertility doctors, this was actually pretty cool. My fertility doctors in Colorado, where I went through IVF, are rated some of the top fertility doctors in the nation. And when I went to see them, at that point, I'm sure as most women are, I was tired of trying to get pregnant, and I was ready to get the ball rolling. And what they wanted to do was take, I'd say, a good 2 to 3 months just to start acupuncture and go through, because they wanted to shorten my cycles. My cycles were a little sporadic and a little too long. And I'm thinking, I'm paying you, your surgeons, you know, and you're telling me to go to an acupuncturist. And they're like, yes, we absolutely are. Here's the name, and this is what you're going to do. So I was really skeptical at that time. I wouldn't be now, but, you know, this was 13 years ago. So I was like, all right. So I was skeptical and went and started seeing the acupuncturist, and maybe 2 months in, and still to this day, I have like regular 28-day cycles. I had never, since I got my period, this was never me. So after that, I was like, wow, this acupuncture really works. So I would say, just to throw, I kind of got off on a tangent, but I'm glad I brought up acupuncture, because I think it's huge. Could be a huge service and support to women having any fertility problems or just in pregnancy in general. So we incorporated that in. And then, I'm not sure if you've heard of this or you guys have talked about this yet in any of your interviews. I'd say, I think one of the most important tests is the MTHFR gene mutation test.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This was not done for me with my son. Never heard of it. Saw it on paper and laughed, and like everybody does when you see it. It looks just like it sounds, the MTHFR. So, I mean, I think this, so we went through this testing with my twins to find that I did, I think, I can't remember. I'm be honest, I don't remember exactly how it works. You can either have one or two mutations with it. I can't remember which I had, but I had it, which a lot of us do. And what we need to know about that is when we have this mutation of this gene, it makes it hard for us to convert our B vitamins, especially B12, which we know is really important. It makes it hard to actually convert it into usable vitamins. So without this conversion, it's basically like, you can take all the B12 that you want, but your body's not doing anything with it. So it's really important to find this out, because it's fixable. You just need to take the right type of these methyl B vitamins. And sometimes it needs to be a prescription strength. For me, after my doctors found out that I had this mutation, they're like, you know, don't worry about it. Of course, I was like, what do you mean a mutation? I'm like, this... I didn't know what they meant, what they were talking about. Like, yeah, they're like, it's fine. So
it's certainly important to get tested sooner than later as well, so that you're coming in not just taking the right prenatals during pregnancy, but that you're fully have your reserves of vitamin B.
Absolutely. I stayed on it. I still take these same vitamins that he prescribed for me. Yeah. So I think that one is one of the biggest ones to definitely test for. It's a really easy test, but it's just not always done. So anybody out there should probably just find out now, do I have this? So you're making sure you're taking the right B vitamins that work for you. I would do a food sensitivity test. And this, I'm sure, is not brought up in your regular conventional pregnancy testing. Food sensitivity tests are good because, I mean, what they do is they're going to tell you, like, repeated exposure to the same foods that are irritating you will eventually cause long-term damage. And it doesn't mean, these are some good foods, and it doesn't mean you don't have to eat it all the time. But if you're always walking around with a stomach ache or IBS or leaky gut syndrome, and you can't figure out why, and you're like, I don't get it. I'm the healthiest eater. I eat broccoli every day. And then you find out that you're pretty actually sensitive to broccoli, then, you know, you're just continually exposing yourself to the same thing. Mm-hmm. So just going into pregnancy, knowing what foods you're sensitive to can be really, really great knowledge to have before you're pregnant, especially when you're already going to be experiencing morning sickness and everything else. You want to make sure you're not adding to it by eating things that are already bothering you.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that. I think it plays into circles right back around to you talking about hormonal balances and being nutritionally complete. If you're getting the wrong foods, not only are you not going to feel well, they could be the reason for having any of those imbalances, and you don't understand. You just don't feel very good.
Yeah. And these are all of this information wasn't always out there and as accessible as it is today. Yeah. Food sensitivity tests. A lot of places you can get them at, I saw them the other day at CVS.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It is. It's very accessible nowadays. So you keep mentioning this membership site where you have so much more information. You are sharing that with our audience today for free. Could you tell us a little bit more about what they can get and find inside of this membership site?
Yeah, I just started. So I have my website is lutritious.com. I'm sure you have that listed. And I decided to add a membership site for free right now for the Healthy Pregnancy Revolution audience. And I'll leave it free for a while. And I'll add all the information we talked about today for the preconception detox, all of our superfoods that I think we should add in for good fertility. I'm also working right now. I didn't want to rush it because just for this sake, but I'll have it done soon. I'm doing a whole guide on supplements. I think for me, and I think for most people, when you walk into the aisle at your local grocery store and you're looking around at supplements, I mean, a lot of times you'll just like, you're done. Like you just leave because you don't even know where to begin and what's good for you. And then you're also looking, you know, you want vitamin D and there's 20 different choices. Which one is the best one? So I'm going to put a whole guide together of what I think the best brands are, because what are the cleanest? Like today, a lot of things will say they're clean and greenwashing it, as they call it. And it's not necessarily any better than the generic non-organic guy on the shelf underneath for $5 less. So I will put together a guide of what I think is the best. I also work with, several companies too that I really believe in, and I can give the codes and the discounts for those. And yeah, so that's what I'm putting together. And I'm going to just keep adding to it too. I'm also going to set up a section on there for just different questions and keep it small and keep it intimate. So we can really have a good discussion on anything that anybody might want to talk about.
I love that. Thank you so much. And everyone, you can access that directly on Jen's page where you're listening to this. She's right. We do have her website linked and a direct link to that membership site where you can sign up, as well as her Instagram there. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jen. This has been amazing.
It was so nice.